The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, it is such a distinct privilege and honor to welcome to the program today the co-founder and president of Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Bob. It's great to be with you.
Well, it is my pleasure, and we are just so excited to have you here in Columbus for our 20th annual Pastor Appreciation Breakfast on May 12th. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but I would love to know, and I can't remember whether I've asked you this before, but what was the genesis, if you will, of the Creation Museum? What a huge thought, concept. Where did the idea come from originally?
Well, you know, it really goes back to my days in Australia. And because I was brought up in a Christian home in a very, you know, secular country, and I went through high school struggling with how do you deal with the issue of evolution that was in our textbooks. Now, I was a Christian and still in God's Word, and my father had taught me that. But still, how do you get answers to some of the issues that, you know, we didn't have answers to in those days concerning the ape man and millions of years and so on? And then in my final year of university, I was able to get some materials that gave answers, like a book called The Genesis Flood and some other materials as well. And then I became a teacher in 1975. And when I started teaching science classes, the kids knew that I was going to be heading up the Christian group in the school. It was a public school in a country area west of the city of Brisbane. And one of the first questions they asked me was this. They said, "Sir, we know you're a Christian. You're heading up the Christian group. But how can you believe the Bible when we know it's not true?" And I said, "How do you know it's not true?" "Because of what we taught in our textbooks about evolution and millions of years and so on." And so I started to give them answers. And, you know, at the same time, I would take my students to museums, but they're always from an atheistic perspective. And I realized that the teaching of evolution, the teaching of millions of years, was such a stumbling block to these young people, even listening to God's word. I needed to give them answers. And yet when we took them to museums, they were all presenting information from a, you know, secular, atheistic perspective, evolutionary perspective. And the Lord gave me a real burden. So it goes really back to 1975 as a teacher. Why can't we have a creation museum? And that burden intensified over the years. And, you know, in 1977, I and a school teacher friend ran the first ever creation apologetics conference in Australia. And out of that started the ministry that has become Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum and then the Ark Encounter. And they're the two biggest Christian-themed attractions in the world now. But it all goes back to my training because of my parents teaching me to stand on God's word, having to deal with issues, and then seeing the stumbling block with young people at school and not being able to take them to a facility that presented the facts, the evidence from a Christian worldview, biblical worldview perspective. And so that's how the Lord gave me that burden.
Well, the last numbers that I've looked at, you've had over 2.5 million visitors to the Creation Museum, correct?
Well, actually, we've now had over 4 million visitors.
Oh my goodness! My information was old. Over 4 million.
Actually, it's even. I was just thinking, it's actually more than that, because between the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, we've now had over 8 million visits. The Creation Museum has been open for almost 13 years. And when we opened the Ark Encounter, the number of people coming to the Creation Museum actually doubled. So when we first started, we were getting about 400,000 people a year, 300,000, 400,000 people a year. And That went up to 500,000-600,000 people a year, and the ARC gets over 1 million people a year. In fact, this year in 2020, between the ARC and the Creche Museum, we're expecting over 2 million visits just during that 1 year.
Well, I know you anticipated the success of the ARC because of the success of the Creche Museum, but were even you surprised at the success of the Creche Museum, or did you expect this all along?
Well, you know, I really believe that, you know, first of all, God had called me to do this and for the people that were with us at Answers in Genesis to make this happen. So I really believe God had called us to do it. And I just believe that there's a tremendous interest out there in the culture. And, you know, there were many naysayers from the church and from the secular world and even from the church saying, well, you're not going to get non-Christians to come, and, you know, I'm not sure Christians are even going to come. And some people even thought, oh, aren't you just commercializing God's word, or aren't you turning it into an amusement park or something? But no, the Creche Museum is a unique way to impact the culture and reach people that you wouldn't reach otherwise. 30% of those who come are non-Christians. And so, you know, we actually planned it from a business model for 150,000 people a year, but we got way beyond that in the first year. And then since the ARC opened, you know, attendance has doubled at the Creche Museum. So I was sort of not surprised in a way, but, you know, we were very reserved in, you know, planning from a business perspective. But other people have been absolutely shocked, and particularly the atheists. I mean, they thought no one would come to such a thing. And I think they're just dismayed that so many people are coming.
Well, I continually encourage my listeners to visit both. I've been to both several times, and they're just incredible. I remember my very first trip to the Creche Museum. I was privileged to broadcast live there. And, Ken, I was blown away. I expected something really good, but it far, far, far exceeded my expectations. I grew up in Southern California. You know, I grew up with Disneyland, and I'll never forget my first visit to the Creche Museum. As I said, it just far, far exceeded my expectations.
Well, you know what, Bob? In November of 2019, we actually had rebuilt one-third of the Creche Museum with all brand-new exhibits. And if you thought it was good back then,
Well,
these new exhibits actually take it to a level way above what it ever used to be. And it is just amazing. I've never seen quality like this in other museums around the world. I think it's far above the sort of quality you'd expect from Disney and places like that.
And
it
thank you for the blowing. Yeah, thanks for the reminder, because I've got to get back. Now, I know you're incredibly busy, and which leads me to my next question. You are unbelievably busy, and yet you have accepted our invitation to be the keynote speaker for our 20th annual Pastor Appreciation Breakfast on May 12th. Ken, considering your schedule, why are you making time to speak to pastors here in Central Ohio?
Well, you know, every one pastor reaches a lot of people, and it's really important to reach leaders with the message that the Lord has laid upon our hearts, because I can't go out and reach all these different churches and people that others can have contact with. But when we can reach leaders who can then go out and reach others, is so very, very important. And I think, too, a lot of pastors haven't really understood the importance of standing on God's word beginning in Genesis, because a lot of seminaries don't teach it, a lot of Bible colleges don't teach it. And I really want them to understand. I think more and more I find Christian leaders are recognizing there is something dreadfully wrong. The church is not impacting the culture like it used to. There's an exodus from the church. I mean, if you look at the statistics, 56% of the greatest generation, those born before 1928, used to go to church. But when you look at the millennials, only 18% of millennials go to church. Generation Z are even less than that, and that's the younger generations, and they're twice as likely to be atheist as any previous generation. We see moral relativism permeating our culture. Who would have ever thought, you know, everyday terms would be euthanasia and talking about, you know, pedophilia and transgender and gay marriage and abortion and the LGBT movement and so on, and yet they're everyday terms these days. And many Christian leaders, I find, are a little perplexed at what's going on, but what has happened is there's been an incredible attack on the authority of the Word of God over the past number of years, and it's particularly been on the book of Genesis, which has undermined the foundation for our whole Christian worldview, for all of our doctrines. And I believe that we can share with people what has happened, the battle that's going on before us, and what we need to do about it as God's people to be able to call people back to the foundation of the authority of the Word of God. And so I love to share that message with pastors, with Christian leaders.
Well, Ken Ham will be our keynote speaker for our 20th annual Pastor Appreciation Breakfast. It's May 12th, and registration is open now for pastors and church staff. And no, you do not have to be full-time. We love bivocational pastors as well. Registration is open now at thewordcolumbus.com. Thewordcolumbus.com. Just look for the Pastor Appreciation tab and register. Ken, we can't wait to welcome you back to Columbus, Ohio.
Well, I look forward to being there. Actually, it's only a couple-hour drive from the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. So you're in our local area anyway, and I love being able to talk to people in our local area.
Absolutely. Ken Ham, again, he will be our speaker May 12th for our 20th annual Pastor Appreciation Breakfast.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I want you to know there is now, and I want to emphasize now, there is now no need to panic about the coronavirus. That's right. There has been a great deal of panic and hysteria around the world and here in America, but there is no longer any need for panic because former President Obama has stepped into the fray, and CNN is reporting breaking news. Yes, former President Barack Obama has now spoken out about the coronavirus, and through his wisdom, his intercession, his interjection into this crisis, we can now be calm, because here is what he said, and I quote, this is from CNN 13 minutes ago, stay calm, wash your hands, and if you're sick, stay home. CNN is reporting this. This is breaking news. Let me read it to you. Let me read it verbatim from the CNN tweet. Now, 14 minutes ago, former President Obama urged Americans to protect themselves and others from coronavirus by taking common sense precautions like washing hands and staying home if they are sick, and stay calm. Well, that ought to do it. That should put everyone at ease. Oh, my goodness. All right. Most of you have heard the Arnold is now, well, for the most part, canceled. Some of the competition is going to take place, with the exception of athletes from countries where the coronavirus has really broken out. All athletes coming in will be screened at the airport, and there will be no public except for the very finals. No expo, no other competition. We had Michelle Warnke on the program talking about the American Ninja Warrior. That's done, finished. The kids' competition, done, finished. The expo, almost all of it canceled, and millions. I mean, the Arnold is one of the biggest things to happen in Columbus every year economically. Millions and millions and millions of dollars lost. I don't know. I keep telling you I'm not an expert. Don't pretend to be one. I don't know. I think that's an overreaction. But people are coming from all over the world to the Arnold. But the problem is, by the time they canceled it, which was yesterday, about 6 p.m., is when Governor DeWine called a press conference with Mayor Genther. And so it was about 6 o'clock. It was to start in a couple of days. Many of the people from around the world were already here. So, Italy is taking this very, very seriously because there has been a serious outbreak in Italy. And get this, today, Italy has announced it will temporarily close all schools and universities, public, private, religious, all schools and universities in the entire country are closed, shut down at least until the middle of the month, and it could be much longer. Japan did the same thing. Also, Italian officials have set up new quarantine areas or red zones in an attempt to contain the outbreak. One of my Facebook friends, to be honest, I don't remember who it was. Oh, I do know. Yeah. A missionary friend was traveling to Cambodia, and when he got to Cambodia, he reported and posted on Facebook the jumbo airplane, the jumbo liner, was almost empty. He was one of just a handful of passengers on the big jumbo jet, and obviously because of the coronavirus. In Italy, 11 complete towns are quarantined, and inhabitants are prohibited from leaving. 11 different towns in Italy have been shut down, closed down, quarantined, and inhabitants in those towns are prohibited from leaving. So it certainly isn't that this is not being taken seriously. And the news media is, of course, playing up the panic. And then again, in continuing with the coronavirus topic, Iran has released more than 54,000 prisoners. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb in the candelabra, I assure you. But if they're concerned about the coronavirus in the prison, isn't it a little dumb to release 54,000 prisoners into the general population? We'll see.